Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Michael Scally, Vice President of Corporate Development with Logistics Plus.
Welcome to Business Spotlight with Logistics Plus, where we talk to employees in Erie and around the world. Today, our guest is Michael Scally, new Vice President of Corporate Development for Logistics Plus, based in New York City. Michael, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Joseph. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. And Mike, welcome to Business Spotlight once again. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. Well, I'm pleased to be part of the Logistics Plus team. I'm a native New Yorker. I was raised on Long Island. I currently live in Weston, New Jersey, close to Princeton, for almost the past 30 years. My entry point into freight forwarding and logistics was as a long-haired truck driver in 1977 at Kennedy Airport.
That was your entry as the long-haired truck driver. Well, you have certainly graduated a little bit from that first job, didn't you, Michael?
Yes, and according to my mom, I used up all my hair, and that's why, 30-plus years later, I don't have any more hair.
Michael, I understand you are a longtime friend of Logistics Plus's. So how is it that you ended up joining the company?
Well, it's kind of funny. My relationship with Logistics Plus was, prior to the company even evolving, and Jim Berlin, its founder, and Dan Lynch were actually my clients when they worked for GE Transportation Services in Erie. I used to specialize in handling various GE businesses, including GE Transportation. So I used to call on them for years and was actually part of the bidding process when GE put the export services of GETS out to bid to the logistics and freight forwarding industry. I knew Jim and Dan before this idea came to them, and we stayed in contact over the years. Very good relationship. I stayed in touch for possible business opportunities as a freight forwarder, and but through the years, I watched them grow and tried to maintain a good relationship, A, for possible business opportunities, and really very exciting to see, a company come from really three people and evolve into a truly global organization.
Boy, that is incredible. I was not aware of that you and Jim actually went back that far.
In fact, it's even funnier because I'm kind of a GE brat. My dad started in the mailroom of the General Electric Company without a college education and worked his way up to the senior logistics manager for all of the GE businesses many, many years ago. So, growing up having a dad in cargo and freight forwarding, I seemed to pick it up through osmosis, and I eventually got involved in the field and connected the dots. And so it's really kind of a coincidence that, and it was only by chance that I followed in my dad's footsteps, because that was not my intention. It was just, to get involved and get a job and stay out of trouble. And next thing you know, it becomes a passion.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Michael, it really does sound like things came full circle for you, and hopefully a very long home and stay with Logistics Plus. Michael, I heard, though, an amazing story about you helping LP move a really expensive piece of artwork a few years ago. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah. As I said earlier, Joe, that I always maintain contact with both Jim and Gretchen Seth for possible business opportunities. And they seemed to contact me when there were some of these impossible type of missions they needed a little advice, guidance, or support for. So they presented the challenge that one of their top customers needed a very large piece of original artwork shipped to Tokyo, Japan immediately, door to door. And it was so urgent that Logistics Plus was actually going to hand carry it. So Gretchen Seth worked with the LP logistics team, and they organized a passenger flight that was able to accommodate this piece of artwork. And she accompanied the original piece of art to, I'm trying to remember, I think it was on Finnair, which is the country, Finnair's the national airline of Finland, via Helsinki to Narita Airport in Japan. I was blessed with the final mile of having my people in Tokyo meet that flight, customs clear the artwork, and then have it delivered to their customer's site and inside type of delivery. Japan is a very, you know, business traditional type society and not always very flexible, and having hand carries and shipments that are not even pre-cleared, but cleared upon arrival. So it was a very long and interesting evening. And at the end of the day, it worked out with a lot of pleading and begging to my colleagues in Japan. They were able to get all the customs formalities done in accordance with the regulations and have the cargo released from the airline and trucked to the customer's office and taken up into the office. It, at the end of the day, LP's customer was ecstatic about what he wanted to have happen, which happened, and really wasn't interested in how much it cost.
Yeah, what a great story. Michael, although you've only been with Logistics Plus for a few weeks, have you noticed any immediate differences working for this organization compared to maybe any of your past employment services or experiences, rather?
Well, yes. First of all, it was so great to be meeting and working with a lot of young, super smart, energetic people in Union Station. While LP does handle some traditional freight forwarding clients, there are many vertical products that LP is engaged in that traditional freight forwarders either are not interested in or don't have a dedicated approach towards. So I think that's what really makes Logistics Plus a much different logistics company than a lot of the traditional freight forwarding companies that we all know of. So that in itself also made it very attractive to me with my experience in handling varieties of specialized commodities to bring my talent to Logistics Plus and become part of the team.
You know, Michael, I've had the good fortune of doing this interview show with LP now about 4 years. And one of the things that I'm always so impressed with in speaking to the people from Logistics Plus is the culture that has been built there. What do you think about the LP culture, having observed it in recent years and now being a part of it?
I think I would summarize it from even as long as I've known Jim and Gretchen and the people that I do know at Logistics Plus, I categorize it as fast and furious is what comes to mind. Build it and they will come. High energy, no boundaries, okay to color outside the lines.
Well, I think you described that in a very short couple of sentences as accurately as I've ever heard anyone describe.
Well, you know, after my, I don't know, third or fourth day or maybe my fifth day in Union Station, I started on October 10th. I went in to talk to Yuri and kind of compare notes. And, you know, to quote, you know, the famous mayor from the city of New York, I said, Yuri, how am I doing? You know, what's the feedback? He said, Mike, you're one of us. You believe in this. You have the same passion that we have. Everyone I've spoken to said, you're so easy to talk to that, you know, you can shift gears in conversation with anyone that you meet. And it was kind of refreshing because, you know, when you join a new organization, you know, it's hard enough to remember where the coffee machine is and not to mention all the people that you meet. And of course, the older you get, your recollection of names and faces, it's not like it was when you're 22 or 23 years old. So hearing that was really refreshing because I also felt the same way with whomever I interface with at Union Station, regardless if it was domestic full truckload team or the LTL team or the import and export team. They were all so welcoming, so friendly, so very interested in what I have done and what I've been involved in, what I would be interested in, could I help them? And it was just a very relaxed and welcoming experience.
You know, that's interesting because really, you know, my observation from an outsider looking in is just a very good group of people who work very hard, very down to earth, and they're all driven with one mission to succeed and help their clients. And it seems like you're going to be an ideal fit for that.
I agree with Joseph.
Michael, you come to LP with 35 plus years of experience in the logistics industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experience?
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, after attending Farmingdale University, I started into transportation by knocking on doors in the cargo area of JFK in I think it was May or June of 1977. And, you know, like many companies, when somebody is promoted, transferred, or God forbid, passes away, you know, everyone moves up the totem pole. So I was knocking on doors, and there was a company, a new freight forwarding company called Circle Air Freight, which was founded by John Robinson. And I was hired as the low man on the totem pole as a truck driver working the 2 to 10 p.m. shift. Accepted the job. I knew how to drive trucks. And I moved from St. James, Long Island to an apartment in Long Beach, New York, with a gentleman who didn't work for Circle, but was part of the Harper Robinson agent network named Pete Thornycroft. And we shared an apartment in Long Beach. He worked for the Saudi agent and for Circle and based out of Jeddah. And it was a great relationship. You know, Pete got paid once a month from Saudi Arabia. So partying was great for the first 7 to 10 days. And as the month proceeded, I seemed to have to facilitate my roommate Pete's partying efforts. But it was fortunately I was paid weekly then, so that really helped. But it was a lot of fun, you know, starting in the cargo business, you know, really on the ground level, working in a warehouse, driving a truck. And I guess what helped me the most was the fact that as a kid, I was a very active stamp collector. And I quickly realized that the cities and destinations for the cargo I was labeling was very familiar to me. So I started moving from, you know, the warehouse into the administrative part of the business in the office. I took a position as a telex operator for the same company. And telex was how, you know, businesses communicated internationally, you know, before, you know, the email that we all know today.
Oh, true. Michael, given your experience, what types of services will you be focusing on for Logistics Plus?
Well, you know, it's funny. When Jim and I and Yuri got together and talked about me joining the organization, you know, I asked, what kind of role would you envision me in? And they both said almost simultaneously, you really are like our Swiss Army knife. And I guess based on, you know, the companies that I've worked for and the types of commodities that I've specialized in, that I could use some of that experience to help enhance, you know, some of the vertical products that Logistics Plus is very successful at. So I'm looking at focusing my energies on the defense industry, especially in light of the, you know, the changing global temperature, projects, aviation, aerospace, oil and energy, you know, really anything that is complex, has the potential to, you know, really develop a strong relationship with a client. I think I can be a very much of an assistant.
And Michael, what originally drew you to the freight forwarding field? Logistics and supply chain management. What makes logistics such an interesting career for you?
I have to tell you that the honest truth is I was drawn to the logistics industry once I realized that my folks weren't going to give me any more money after college. And I really needed to get a steady job. And I quickly connected the dots. And that's really the God's honest truth. I didn't enter the business, you know, like a lot of young people looking for a career. I was looking really to just try to get some income, get some stability, you know, moving away from your parents, that kind of thing. But it was funny because once I realized that I knew geography and these cities and countries so well, and, you know, you have to also remember in the 70s, you know, the air cargo business was a very manual business. You know, we were using IBM Selectric 2, maybe Selectric 1 typewriters. You know, all of the documents had carbon in between them. You routed shipments by looking at, you know, you opened the World Atlas and you went, all right, Leipzig, E4. And they're like, all right, what's the nearest airport? What's the airport? So you really were, routing cargo, in a one-on-one environment. And even in those days, cargo was priced by the airlines, what they call specific commodity codes. So, for instance, if you were shipping electrical material, it would be categorized as 4416, or machine parts was 7302. And I know that off the top of my head because, it's kind of like remembering people's telephone numbers in the old days because you had to manually dial it. So the air cargo business was really in its infancy. And the company that I was with was really on the forefront of investing in technology to start to automate some of those processes. So once you realize that you know the world, and the world then was much bigger than it seems to be now, and you kind of felt like you had understood it, then you really embraced it. And I honestly mean, I have as much fun today as I did driving a truck at JFK back in the late 70s.
That's awesome. Michael, we have seen many supply chain disruptions, as I don't need to tell you, the past few years. Things like COVID, labor issues, severe weather, political conflicts. Have you ever seen the industry in a state of disruption as it is right now?
Joseph, negative. It's really funny. What we experienced both personally and professionally since March 2020 really falls under the category of you can't make this stuff up. COVID really just helped the perfect storm in logistics come together. What I mean by that, take for instance, there's no secret now there's a driver shortage in the United States. Well, this driver shortage has been happening for the last 15 years. And, the core, driver behind that, no pun intended, was that, the older cross-country drivers were retiring. And the new breed of drivers really didn't want to spend their life on the road. They had families and, they wanted to be home on weekends and things like that. So that driver shortage, all of the big carriers have known about this for a long time. COVID really just put everything under extreme pressure, not just from the disease perspective, but, people that were staying home to be paid instead of going to work because they got paid more to sit home with the unemployment compensation package. The supply chain then, was really stretched because, a lot of us were home and working remotely and ordering on Amazon. And, a lot of Amazon is sourced out of China. So the supply chain was really pressured. And we were shipping things by air freight that you would never have considered by air freight. We had a case where one of the soap products, Axe Body Wash, they had a rollout and it was some kind of shower kit. And they air freighted almost 5 40-foot containers of these shower kits by air freight. It was $750,000 worth of air freight that they needed. And you never would have thought that in before 2020, for sure.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. Michael, I know LP, through all of the challenges that we've seen the past couple of years, they've really made it their mission. And I've learned that from speaking to some great employees like you. How can LP continue to help its clients navigate these challenges? And are you seeing any relief in the near future?
Well, I think one of the key factors is for, the LP team to stay close to its clients as partners versus a transactional relationship. Strong communication, forecasting, be ready for what comes next. And why I bring up transactional, because traditionally freight forwarders have focused on the transactional, whether it's ocean freight or air freight environment, quoting, winning, quoting, losing. And, what we've seen with, the supply chain being so stressed, it's that, you had traditionally ocean freight rates from China were $2,500 or less coming to Long Beach. And that went up to almost $30,000, depending on, where you were shipping from and where you were shipping to. You have to remember that the trickle down of whatever that product is in that container is going to go down to the end consumer, whether that's books or flat screen TVs or, cosmetics and beauty products. Partnership is really key to developing long and lasting relationships with your clients because, partnership also means good days and bad days. And, you know, by having a partnership with a whether it's a global or national client, it allows you to understand what they're planning, what their direction is. And as a partner, you can help them achieve whatever challenges that they face or whatever challenges that come unexpectedly.
Makes sense, Michael. LP, as I certainly don't need to tell you, has a reputation in the industry for being a problem solver. And I know their employees take a lot, and especially Jim, takes a lot of pride. No matter the size of the client, no matter the nature of the problem, they're excellent at coming up with solutions. How does this industry-leading customer service culture of LP marry with your philosophy about winning in the logistics industry today?
Well, it's very much a surprise to me, having, you know, achieved 3 weeks with Logistics Plus, but my philosophy is very much in line with their philosophy. Thinking outside the box, coming up with a solution-oriented problem for a customer, and then working together to solve that issue. It's all about solutions, as opposed to just looking at a container or cost of a container or rate per kilo. Problem solving is not for the faint of heart, and it requires, you know, thinking outside the box. And sometimes you have to take a calculated risk based on your experience and your intelligence on where this project is going to take you and will it achieve the goals that's going to solve the customer's challenges.
And Mike, we know that logistics is a 24/7, 365 job, but what sort of interest do you have outside of the logistics world and Logistics Plus?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm very family oriented. I'm an outdoor person. I enjoy cycling and kayaking and sailing, hunting, fishing. If it's outdoors, you can count me in. Being a native New Yorker, I'm now living in New Jersey, spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania. I particularly love the Northeast portion of the United States. The four seasons are amazing. And in spite of a lot of people who might disagree with me, I actually enjoy the winter as much as I do the spring and the fall. It comes with the territory. And talking to people out in Western Pennsylvania who love the same, the same climate, it's really, really interesting. So I'm really happy to, be associated with Logistics Plus and having the opportunity to go out to Erie. My wife's grandmother actually grew up in Erie on Sassafras Street, and her dad ran a clothing store in Erie, and it's kind of comical when I talk to my in-laws who are Swedish about going to Erie. They're like, "Oh my goodness, Grandma grew up in Erie." I said, "I know that, and we embrace that."
Well, Michael, I got to tell you, I think you said early in the conversation, or maybe it was before we began recording, that you're got a trip planned to Erie on, I believe you said the 28th?
Yeah, the week of the 28th, I'll be bringing out our new team member of Logistics Plus for training, and it'll allow me to spend more time at Union Station meeting the teams that I haven't met to become more intimate with what they do and how I can assist them in our mutual growth.
Well, I can tell you this, Michael, tomorrow it's supposed to be in the 70s here in Erie. I would absolutely not count on that for your week of November 28th, if I know Erie.
I would concur with that. And also, I was talking to one of my former colleagues from Canada, and he said, "How's it going?" And I said, "Well, it's supposed to be 72 in Western New Jersey today." He goes, "Oh, that's great." And I said, "Well, not if you were going duck hunting tonight, Chris." And he goes, "You're right." I said, "Exactly." So I really embrace the cold weather. I have a snow plow. I have cross country skis. I'm ready for whenever Mother Winter delivers itself.
Mike, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It has been thoroughly enjoyable. Is there anything we missed today that you'd like to add regarding yourself, Logistics Plus, or the industry?
I think repeating what I said earlier, Joseph. I really love this business. It's exciting. Every day is different. The challenges that we face today and 2022 entering 2023 are much different than the challenges that we faced in the end of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and entering the year 2000. And, transportation, while it may change in the respect that planes will go faster and ships will go faster and they'll carry more capacity, you'll always need logistics people to facilitate, transportation needs and keep the supply chain going. So, for me, every day is exciting. I look forward to the challenges that the industry, will present in the future. And I'm prepared to deal with that.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.